Hello and welcome to Marlena. So sorry that we don't have our typical intro music, but we are happy and delighted to be able to be here, music or not. And I'm happy and delighted that you're here. We're going to be with you for two big hours tonight. I hope they're going to be big hours. I certainly know the first one is. And we'll get to our guests here in the first hour in just a moment. On the second hour, what we're going to do is some open forum chat, whatever you might like to talk about, anything that happened that was of particular concern or interest to you this week. And I don't know, I was up on the ACB radio webpage. Have you guys been up there yet? Whoa! www.acbradio.org has these marvelous news feeds, and I was reading this story about a robo cart that might help blind people. So I thought we might talk about where the heck is technology going in the second hour, or whatever you'd like. But in the meantime, I'd like you to help me make welcome to the Marlena program our guests for this hour, and we will be taking your phone calls at 866-666-7926. I'll let you know when the lines are open. And if you are listening, by the way, at any time other than Sunday night at 9 Eastern or 6 Pacific or Monday morning at 1 Universal, this is a replay. Put your feet up, get your favorite beverage, and just enjoy. Let me bring our guests in. I have two guests tonight. We have Rob Rogers, who's the president of BITS, and we're going to get Rob to tell us about BITS in just a minute, and Frank Welty, whom some of you may remember was on our program right around this time last year to discuss BITS convention program. So let's start with Rob, and good evening, Rob. Welcome to Marlena.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
Now, what is BITS?
That's BITS, that's Blind Information Technology Specialist. We renamed ourselves from VidPi back in 2004, and we've been working toward changing our image a little bit. It used to be people thought of VidPi being a group of techies that they just didn't have room for anybody who wasn't a high-level programmer or a system developer or something, but we're there for people who use computers in some significant way in their daily lives, whether that's on a job or for personal activities. And we put on programs at the National ACB Convention. Frank's going to tell you about this year, the program we have. And we have, for example, we have a chat room on For the People on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And we have a list for our members only. And we put on, we answer questions among ourselves. If we get problems, we can address those problems. Someone puts a question on and somebody else may have an answer to it.
And then we
have a, I'll let you take it from there. I've swamped you already.
Well, I'm excited to find out more about this chat room. Let's make sure we get back and talk about that, because I think that any time people can interact with each other live and in person is a good deal. Let's welcome Frank to the program. Hey, Frank, welcome back.
Good evening.
It's wonderful to have you. You survived last year and came back again.
Yes, I'm a glutton for punishment. Yes, I'm back.
A glutton for punishment. Well, now, Frank, you are the program chair for this year's ACB convention, correct, for the BITS program?
For Blind Information Technology Specialist, I am the program chair this year.
Okay, and I do want to spend some time talking about that program, but before we do that, let me ask you, how long have you been a member of BITS?
I originally joined BITS or VidPi back in 1987. I dropped off for a couple of years and got active again in 1990, and I have been a member continuously ever since, and I've been involved in one way or another in leadership in BITS since 1993.
It's so hard for me, you know, I'm old enough, there are people who say I'm too old, but I'm old enough to remember VidPi, you know, when I first came into ACB, I came into ACB, I guess, in 1970, so it shows you how old I am. And, I mean, VidPi was just like, that's where all the smart people went, you know, all those ones and zero ticker tape people, you know, they were all the VidPi people. But that's not the image of VidPi now, right, Rob?
That's correct. That's what we want. We want to project the image. We're there to help anyone, particularly in ACB. We're a national affiliated of ACB. And we feel that the majority of, I don't know exactly what percentage, but a high percentage of blind people use computers because they make adaptation much easier. It's the way I tell my wife, it's our pencil.
Yeah.
Because we have word processing in our jobs. We use it so we can do that sort of thing, and as well as doing computer technology type of jobs.
Okay. I'm going to give the telephone number. The number is 866-666-7926. Can people call you guys during this hour if they want and ask you some specific technology questions?
Sure, we can see what we can do with that.
You could make the answers up, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm game.
All right. Let's ask Gary, the board guy, to open the lines. And, Frank, tell me a bit about the program that we are going to see this summer in Las Vegas.
Well, the overall schedule will look, for those of you that have been at ACB convention, the overall schedule will be comparable to that which you've seen over the past few years. It's going to run, our first item will be on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon, and it'll run through Wednesday afternoon. So what we will start with on Saturday afternoon at 4:30 will be our board meeting, which is an open meeting for those that are interested. And then Sunday we get going in earnest. We have two programs that day. In the morning from 10 o'clock to noon, we have an opening program session, and it's going to start out with opening remarks by myself and Rob. And then we're going to, the main bulk of our session that morning is going to be really interesting. We're calling it the Clash of the Titans. And what this is going to be is that we're going to get four of the biggest vendors in the assistive technology market for the blind together all at once in a panel discussion. We're going to have HumanWare. We're going to have Freedom Scientific. We're going to have Optilec, which has sort of followed HumanWare and Freedom Scientific into the conglomerate model of blindness technology. And we're also going to have a GW Micro, because even though they don't have the huge, broad product line that these other companies have, they're such a prominent force in terms of their reputation in the industry that we felt it appropriate that they should be involved. And what we're going to do with that is that we're going to start out with where each one will get a very brief, like 5 minutes apiece, to give an introduction to what their company's up to currently or what they're about. And then we're going to have a moderator that is going to ask all of them questions, say for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Wow.
with the goal of getting them to compare and contrast their products, because of course so many of them have competing products, you know, competing note takers, competing screen readers, competing low vision devices and so forth. And so we're trying to get them in a situation where people who are viewing this can actually hear some comparisons in a way that you don't normally hear. And then the bulk of that part of the session is going to be audience questions. So for those of you that are thinking about maybe getting yourself a note taker and you can't decide which one is better, or you're trying to decide which of the CCTVs out there or which of the Braille displays you want to get, and you'd really like to get these people in a room together and compare instead of having to walk back and forth across an exhibit
Great.
Hall or whatever.
Great.
This is your chance to do that. And some sparks could fly. We just, who knows?
Well, and I certainly, and we've got a caller, and I'm going to bring them in just a minute. I certainly hope it will be a better comparison than that which was on the CSUN program, which was interesting, but certainly not a comparison. Let me bring this caller into the room. Hello, caller. You're with Rob and Frank and Marlena. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Hey, I've got two topics that I'd like to mention, if I may. And I'm not selling anything. I just want you all, I just would like your audience to be aware of a new product that might help someone.
Okay. Does this have to do with our bits, folks, or would this be better in the second hour?
Let's see. It might have to deal with the bits.
All right.
Folks.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, this is an idea which I wonder if you people could extend to Braille, to note takers of different kinds. There's a company out there that is making a keyboard, you know, it's a QWERTY keyboard, but instead of the letters being staggered, it's in perfect grid. In other words, the Q key would be directly above the A key and the A above the Z and so forth all through the keyboard. And the reason for that is the only reason they're staggered today is a remnant, it's a carryover from the typewriter days. And they say it's easier on the hands. Has anyone at BIT ever thought about that idea?
I don't think we have specifically. I mean, certainly, of course, the idea that the traditional typewriter keyboard is not the wisest thing to do. In fact, just as an aside to that, my understanding is that the reason the letters are arranged the way they are on
so the keys
typewriter keyboard
on an old
was,
typewriter.
was to specifically slow down typists because, of course, in the old days of typewriters, when you had those levers that came up and made the letters, you didn't want them banging into each other. So
right.
Certainly there have been different typewriter layouts, and various ergonomic keyboard styles have been on the market. So that's certainly an interesting new development. Of course, there are a lot of options there. Maybe at some point in the future we should consider some kind of a program session that just talks about the issue of ergonomics and the alternatives in that regard.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But if I wanted BIT to know about that keyboard manufacturer, mm-hmm. what would be the appropriate way I could let you know about that?
Oh, how do people contact BITs, Robert?
You could send us an email. First of all, on ACBL, that'd be one way. And then you could send me or Frank an email directly. I'm easily reached at rrrogers@nuvox.net. That's RRROGERS. There's three R's in a row, not two. At Nuvox is N as in November, U, V as in Victor, O, X, .net.
Nuvox.net.
Yes, yeah.
I'll be happy to take any kind of email you want to send, and then I can dispatch it into our internal email list.
And the other thing I want to ask you about is about Apple's system, which will be rolled out sometime this year. And I want to know, do you feel that this is going to make a good bit of a stir? I hope so, because I hope to go to an Apple store someday and play with it, because I'm not going to make it to any of the conventions. I don't have that kind of dough. But I hope that I've never done a main menu program, but anyway, how do you feel about the Apple effort?
This is Frank, and I have to, of course, the devil is in the details in that regard. You know, if they get it right, certainly it will be a big deal. And if they don't, we could be talking about another Microsoft Narrator product. Although I saw a demo of the voiceover technology that you're talking about at the ACB convention last summer. And, of course, it was very preliminary, but it certainly showed promise. And the idea that a mainstream computer vendor is actually going to bundle a fully functional screen reading software product in their operating system is very exciting and something of which we definitely need to take note. And we'll definitely have our eyes on it. And yes, I think that that is going to shake up things a bit.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Danny. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And I'm going to try to catch the rest of your show. My computer keeps timing out.
Yeah, so I understand computer problems.
One
yeah.
other, can I bring one other,
yeah,
other thing? Yeah,
sure. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm a traditionalist, I guess. Stick in the mud. Jobs, we'll say, for the big corporations, we use IBM compatibles all the time, and Apple has never had much of a foothold. Maybe they will start coming up with something with the new Apple products, so that IBM compatibles, at this point still, if you want to get a job using a computer, you're going to walk into a job, and they've got the IBM-type computer. You know what I mean by IBM
sure,
compatible.
Sure, yeah.
You're going to walk in, and there's going to be a IBM computer on that desk or
a Windows
or
machine.
Whatever, and the software will be put on that. And Apple, at this time, just doesn't have it. But if you're going to use it for personal use, then Apple might be great.
All right. All right, Frank, let's and you know what, Rob, I don't disagree with you actually. I kind of, this is really going to bring out the wrath of some people I know who listen, but I actually feel the same way about Linux. You know, I think Linux is a fascinating place to play, but in terms of, you know, I think our main focus still has to be getting blind people conversant and familiar and competent with what's going to get them jobs. And so I'm on the same page with you. Anyway, Frank, so now let's get back to the program.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this, and tell us again, when is this this first fabulous session?
The first session will be Sunday morning, July 3rd, from 10 o'clock to noon.
Okay.
And again, that will be the main thing there, will be the Clash of the Titans.
Yeah,
the, and then
I love it.
Finishing off that program, at the end of that session, we're going to do just a little bit of business reading, some constitutional amendments that we have to go over, but that'll just be like the last 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then in the afternoon, we're going to get back to an old standby, which any of you who have been going to ASCB conventions for any time in the last millennium will will remember, and that is our BITS Technology Vendor Showcase.
Oh, yes.
And it's
yes.
a wonderful service that we offer to the convention community there at ACB. And it addresses a major problem, which is there's lots of nifty technology vendors showing their wares in the ACB convention hall. But the convention hall is big, and it's noisy, and you've got to go hunting around to find all these different people. And then you've got to kind of try to absorb all this information that gets thrown at you, and you're killing your feet, and if you have a guide dog, the dog is getting stressed out all the time while this is going on. We've provided this service where you can come to a nice room, sit down in a nice chair, settle down, and let all of these vendors come to you for 3 hours instead of you having to hunt for them. So in the course of our three-hour program, each vendor that we sign up has a 10-minute block where they're allowed to give a presentation on what's new with them, what they're doing in their booth, and maybe a question or two from the audience. And then we run on the next vendor, and we usually get somewhere between a dozen and 15 vendors running through the program. So it's a great way, if you're interested in access technology or other things that are technology-related, it's a chance for you to get all of that information you want to get caught up on in one place, in a very time-effective means, in a very efficient means, because it's all there, all at once for you.
It's quiet. So all these vendors come to you. You don't have to listen to them shouting over about 200 people around you. You don't stand 10 deep in a line trying to get close enough to even hear them. Here you have them present it to you, and you can see whether you like the product, if it's interesting enough, before you go out and pursue it.
And I think that for people who don't go to the ACB convention, although we hope that many, many, many of you out there will be going, we usually, I think it's Rob Hubbard who records this for us, and Dave Williams uses bits and pieces of it from Unmade Menu throughout the year. So
Rob does a great job, too.
Yes. Yeah. Rob started, we've recorded it for a number of years, and Rob has been doing recordings of it, of these program sessions over the years, not just the seminar, but all of our program sessions. But since 2000, we have been getting the showcase to Main Menu so that Main Menu can feature those immediately after the convention. And we think that's a great thing we enjoy being involved with.
And we appreciate having it. All right. So we get a chance to sit down for a couple, 3 hours and listen to all the vendors. And
yes.
Then what?
That's all for Sunday. Monday is fun. On Monday evening, we have another old standby, and that is the Bits Mixer, which goes from 9 to noon. So we encourage you to relax with us and get acquainted with your friends in the computer world on a more comfortable basis over in the, usually it's in the executive director suite that evening. And, you know, just to have a nice time with us and relax. So we encourage folks to participate in that.
And what time is the mixer?
It's a 9 p.m. to midnight.
Okay.
So now, after hours on Monday, have a little fun with us.
Do we need to sign up for any of these thus far?
Well, of course, we hope, and this is true for all special interest affiliates, that when you see your convention registration form, on the first page you'll see a list of affiliates, and you're encouraged to sign up and pay a registration fee for those affiliates that you wish to be involved in their meetings. Because, and the reason that affiliates do this is because we have expenses for renting microphones and recording equipment and so forth, and that helps defray our costs. Now, we don't, for most of our events of that kind, our afternoon sessions, we don't go around ticketing people. So if you just hadn't thought about it beforehand and you just get on a whim to decide you're going to go to that showcase after all, no problem. Now, Monday evening, that mixer is a ticketed event. If I remember off the top of my head, it's usually $10.
That's
and
right.
That's because, of course, we have munchies and beverages and things in there, and we're not that altruistic, so we appreciate your support. And then, of course, our luncheon, which we'll be getting to momentarily, is also a ticketed event.
Okay.
That's the extent of that.
All right. Rob, let me ask you a question before we go on with the program. Approximately how many members has BITS?
At this point, we're smaller than we'd like to be. We're 48 strong. We have been as high as 60 or more. But we're actually engaging in a membership campaign right now, and we're eager to have more members, not just because of membership dues. We want some people that will come in and help us out in doing our work so that we get some hands to do things with, like our chat room on Saturday nights. We have a chat room available any night of the week, 24/7, really. But we plan to have conducted sessions like once a month, starting in May. Jim Denham, one of our people, is going to have a session, I believe. And we need people they may have some expertise so that they can actually conduct a session to narrate or to moderate, that's the right term, and like the way you are doing, Marlena, to help answer questions, to keep things moving along, and serve as an expert. And that's where we need lots more members so we can do a lot more good, because ACB is a large organization, and probably the majority of these people in ACB need help with computers at one time or another, and that's what we're there for.
The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. And if you're listening to this program at any time other than 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on a Sunday night, or 1 Universal on an early UTC morning, it's a replay. So just enjoy the program. So, Rob, what you're saying then is that, you know, we just had a caller, Danny, who is quite interested in the Apple, in the evolution of this Apple with screen reader concept. And so what I'm hearing you say is, hey, you don't need to come to the convention. Danny said he probably couldn't come to the convention. But you don't need to come to the convention to be active in bits. There are
plenty of
other ways to do that.
Like the chat room or the membership email list or, those are the major concerns right there.
All right. All right, great. Let's turn back to Mr. Frank, the man of the program here, and what's up next?
Okay, we're going to move into Tuesday. And just to take a quick break here, I want to... I had a lot of help this year in organizing our program planning, and that is still going on, of course. But I especially want to acknowledge that our board members, specifically Rob Rogers and Earlene Hughes and Jim Denham, really stepped up the plate to help out getting things together this year for our program planning. You know, in order to make those deadlines we have with ACB to get prepared for the convention, they really stepped up, and I want to publicly acknowledge their assistance. Moving into Tuesday is our main business day. So from 12:30 to 2 on Tuesday will be our annual luncheon, and we're going to have a cool luncheon speaker that I think a lot of you will love to hear this year. And his name is, and I'm hoping I'm not butchering his name, I believe it's Mike LaPierre. He is the technology lead at Sendero Group, which is, of course, the company that promotes the use of modern GPS technology for wayfinding.
Sure, yep.
And so he's going to give us an update on their products, but also we asked him to broaden that to give us sort of a survey of the state of the art in general in the wayfinding field. So that should be very exciting because, of course, there is so much going on in that field these days, not just one company anymore. So I think it's a great chance for us all to find out what is a very exciting development in blindness technology. Here we've got this, you know, it's probably the biggest, you know, the best thing since the guide dog, you know.
Yeah.
So that's going to be. And then from 2 to 5, we're going to have our annual business meeting, which, again, for those of you that are BITS members or who join BITS between now and then, we encourage you to be actively involved with us to help us plan the coming year and make BITS the kind of organization you really want it to be.
I fully concur with that.
And will you have election of officers this year, Rob? Do you have another term?
Yes, on odd-numbered years, we have the election. We have two-year terms, and President, Vice President, Secretary, and Treasurer are elected on the odd-numbered years as this year. And we'll have one board member. One is being time or term limited out, and he has to be replaced. And that's what we'll be doing, the election of these four officers and one board member.
And are you running for a second term, or are you maxed?
I'm running for, we're allowed up to three two-year terms. I'm running for my third term.
I don't know. Frank, what do you think? Do you think he's going to make it? We won't tell him what you said. What do you think, Frank?
Well, it may be competitive. We'll just have to see.
It will be competitive, and all the people that I know about right now are very well qualified.
Well, and you know what? That, to me, is a testimony to BITS. I think that it's fabulous when there are qualified people who can stand up and say, I want this job and I think I can do it equally well or better, and here is why. And to me, you know, it's sad when we see an organization that just kind of automatically says, well, this person's president, so we'll just, you know, put him in for another 2 years or whatever. So
yeah,
I think
it's not going to be that this year. I know I'm going to have a stiff battle to.
Well, see, and I didn't even know that when I asked the question. I was teasing.
But this year is going to be really exciting because we've been ramping up and the prospects of doing bigger and better things lie ahead of us, and we're working toward like a 501c3. We had an incorporation problem a couple of years ago, and we got incorporated, and then right after we got incorporated again, we had a name change. So we had to start all over again. Now we're working on getting our nonprofit status so we can do some more funding of special projects and things.
Great. Sounds wonderful.
I'd like to add something to that, and in terms of ramping up, is that I think the main problem I think that we've had a relatively small membership is that we still have that false perception in the community that we're strictly an organization for computer professionals. And because the computer has taken really the central role in blindness, in the blindness adaptations, probably even more so than the guide dog or the cane or magnifiers, I think it's the time when a lot of people really need to take a second look and bits and realizing that this, if you're into computers or you want to be in the computer, you really need to be part of BITS just as much as you would want to be part of the guide dog users if you had a guide dog, or you'd want to be a part of the Braille Revival League if you're a Braille user, or the Citizens with Low Vision if you're a low vision person. It's really that important. I think, frankly, as important as computers now, I hope that very soon BITS will become the largest single affiliate in the American Council of the Blind. I think that's where it belongs.
With the prospect of the technology, the way it's going by such big leaps and bounds, it's fantastic. All the adaptations that are possible. And part of our job will be to advocate for our place in the sun, you might say, with the manufacturers, even with legislators, to remember that disabilities, particularly people with blindness, need to be remembered when provisions are made for new technology, even the legislation governing technology.
Great. That you know, and you make a very good point, each of you, about how anyone in whose life a computer is central, and that is many of us, really could gain from membership within BITS for the things that we could learn, but also the things that we could share. Do you guys put out a newsletter?
Absolutely.
Yes,
we, we have a very fine quarterly audio cassette newsletter called Bites from BITS. And our newsletter editor is a gentleman by the name of Rob Hubbard, who also does our recording at our convention sessions. He does a very good job of it. In a previous life, he was working professionally in radio, and it shows, and he does a very good job with that, and that's one of the perks of being a member. And we also, for our members, they can also download it from our website. I should add also that for those of you who didn't realize this, our website is www.acb.org/bits.
www.acb.org/bits, B-I-T-S.
Yeah, very well done. I have to brag about our webmaster, Milton Oda. He's been working hard.
Oh, sure, I know Milton.
Looking good.
Yeah, that's great. Well, now, Frank, where are we on the program?
Okay, we're up to towards the end of Tuesday afternoon. At the end of our, after our session on Tuesday afternoon, we are going to have a brief post-convention board meeting, but we have one more day of programming, and that's on Wednesday afternoon, and we're going to have some fun there, too. During the first part of the session, we're scheduled to have a representative from Microsoft who's going to give us an update on what they're doing we're hoping we can pin them down about what's going on with Longhorn and accessibility.
Yeah.
We're going to see what we can wheel out of them there.
Oh, boy, that'll draw a crowd.
Uh-huh. And then from 3, that'll be from about 1:30 to 3. And then from 3 to 4, we're going to have a panel discussion where some of our top computer experts are going to answer people's questions about, you know, people's computer questions. So it's almost like a mini users group for everybody. And then in the final half hour, we're going to have a planning session where people that want to have BITS work on various ideas can get their chance to have their say about things they'd like to see BITS doing in the future. So it's a lot of fun. We hope we have a really big crowd there on Wednesday afternoon.
Well, and I hope maybe you might take Danny's call into consideration with ideas for future programs that BITS might have, kind of the keyboard stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
just
pretty fascinating.
With Apple computers is a promising new area, so I hope we can go someplace with that.
Yeah, that's great. 866-666-7926. I'm Marlena. I'm going to be with you for 2 hours tonight. We're a little bit past half our way through the first hour. My guests are Rob Rogers, the president of BITS, Blind Information Technology Specialists, and Frank Welty, the beloved program chair. I say beloved because he did this last year and came back again. We have a call. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller. You are with Rob, Frank, and Marlena.
Good evening, Marlena. This is Steve Bauer.
Hey, Steve Bauer. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. One of the things that I'm curious if the BITS people have had any discussion or interaction with is voiced over IP. My company that I work for is getting ready to convert to a voice over IP system from Cisco. And as far as accessibility, all they are telling me is I have to use what is called a soft phone, which is, means my phone operates from my computer. And I'm concerned that with my speech going on the computer and the computer trying to talk to me about what's going on with my telephone, that my feeble brain is going to get confused. So I'm wondering if there has been any discussion or interaction with any of these voice over IP systems, and if there's anybody that they know of that is using a soft phone successfully.
What about that, you guys?
Do you have anything on that, Frank?
You know, I don't. I'm rather stumped on that. We may have members that are doing that. Of course, we have people that are using Skype, which is a different animal, you know, that free internet chat service that has been just taking the world by storm. But as far as the commercial VoIP services, I really couldn't tell you. I think you bring up a very good subject, and we should probably throw that out to our friends on our internal BITS email list to see what kind of response we get. But you're certainly bringing up a good subject, and I'm sorry I don't have a more definitive answer for you than that.
Well, I think what we're going to be seeing, because as the telecommunication manager for my company, right now about the only feature on our system that is not accessible to me is caller ID. And it's a concern of mine that I'm going to have to support people on these telephones when I won't have a clue as to how to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's going to be happening, and whether people realize this or not, we're already seeing it with AOL launching their internet voice over IP phone service. But in a matter of years, and it may be 10 years, it may be 15, who knows, everybody will be doing voice over IP, even for your home phone.
Oh, it's already starting. You know, my internet service provider is something called Speakeasy, and they have VoIP, and we're sort of playing around with, gosh, should we try it or not? So for a residential phone, it's here.
And AT&T even has it.
Right. It's going to be happening for everybody, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not. Now, maybe some of the rural areas will be slower, but your major metropolitan areas, it's just a matter of time before everybody is truly on voice over IP.
Huh.
Yeah, there's some of these phone lines out in the country, even here in Cincinnati. I've got a friend who is a manager of the county communications center, All he has, I keep teasing him, he's got not much more than baling wire and barbed wire going out to his house. All he has is dial-up, and voice over IP wouldn't exactly go well over that.
Yeah, but it is coming. I think you're right, Steve. It is coming.
I'm looking forward to all this, believe me.
Yeah, well, but we need to, I think, you know, the point is we need to really make sure that we get our voices heard early on for accessibility and so that we aren't.
Oh, sorry. That is definitely something we want to be in a position to do more of in BITS, is to be more active in the whole area of technology access across the board. And it's one of the main reasons, I think, that we want to see more people get involved in BITS, is that we want to be able to speak with a louder voice when we try to go to companies or legislatures or whatever, so that it's hard to do that when you're 48 people.
Sure.
And another
sure.
thing, your caller, we'd love to have more like him as a member of BITS, so we've got that expertise to go with.
Steve's a great guy, but we won't let him know I said that, right, Steve?
No, there's Major Static on the line. I didn't hear you.
Major Static. Listen, Mr. Bauer, before you leave, give yourself a shameless plug for your program over on ACBRI.
Okay, well, if you're forcing me, I will.
I'm breaking your arm.
Oh! Okay, My main program on ACB Radio Interactive is called Smooth Jazz USA. It's a three-hour program on Tuesday at 23 hours Universal. As I like to say, that's 6 p.m. Central, 7 in the East, 5 in the Mountains, and 4 out West. And then for a few weeks now, I'm going to bring back my country music show on Mondays at 20 hours Universal.
Yay!
Which that converts out to, what, 3 p.m. Central, 4 East, 2 in the Mountains, 1 out West.
Right. Right.
4 hours difference now, isn't it, from Eastern?
Yeah. Well, that's great, Steve, and I'll be listening.
Okay, good deal. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks so much for calling.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye. Thank
you for calling. One of my good friends over on the music side, on the interactive side of ACB Radio, Steve Bauer. Yeah. Check out his program if you get a chance. We have another call.
Yeah, this is one point that we'd love to have more people like him in BITS to give us more expertise to work with.
Absolutely. Did you hear that, Mr. Bauer? Hello, caller. You are with Rob, Frank, and Marlena. Who are we speaking
Hello,
with?
Hello, Marlena. How you doing? It's Rich Acosta.
Hello, Rich. Boy, that's a voice I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, how you doing?
Great.
I was just wondering, since you were doing the comparison panel that you said, I was just curious, are you going to do anything between Kurzweil and Open Book as well?
We aren't. That would be a cool one to do in the future. We should keep that in mind. Now, one thing, of course, is that you'll get some of that in the vendor showcase, because in addition to those vendors that we mentioned that will be in the first program, they'll be able to come back and do their usual 10-minute segments in the vendor showcase, along
right.
with maybe 11 other vendors. And you can pretty well be sure that Kurzweil will be there. So you will still hear news about both Open Book and the Kurzweil products during
yeah,
the vendor
because
showcase.
Open Book is generally usually one of Freedom Scientific. So I was just thinking, since you were including WindowEyes, that you would include Kurzweil in that
yeah,
panel.
You have to draw the line
well.
Somewhere, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we've got only a limited amount of time on Sunday morning, so one more
right.
vendor, we just would not make it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Rich? Are you kind of interested in all this stuff that BITS has to offer?
Yeah, it sounds interesting, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. The one other thing, though, I wonder, I'm trying to look at, do you actually develop, if someone was to give you an idea or kind of a wish that they would like to do, is there any way that you guys actually can use your email list to throw out ideas for projects type thing, or is it just...
That's a little bit difficult. We don't have a staff, especially, but we might have some... With more numbers among our membership, that could happen. But with 48 people at this point, we don't have enough people to really work on projects such as that.
Right.
We might be able to find some people, advocate with manufacturers, but to do it ourselves, that's another thing. What do you think, Frank?
I would agree with Rob there. That's, of course, you need plenty of bodies to do something like that. However, Rich, if you thought there was an idea that you think you'd like to see folks in BITS be thinking about, if you were to send one of us an email and ask us to forward that to our list for discussion, I'm sure we could do something like that.
Did you have an idea?
Yeah, actually, I do. It's actually a personal thing. Since I'm a writer, I'm trying to look at some way of developing some kind of electronic means of getting around an arena when it comes to obstacles.
Yeah, Rich is a great, you guys, he's a great equestrian, a blind equestrian.
Oh, great. Mm.
And I had him on, remember when I had you on Blind Spot all those years ago? And he's really quite a cool guy. So, that would be an interesting thing, though, Rich.
Now,
that's what I'm kind of looking at, is some way of navigating. I've tried headphones, but that, of course, has never really worked out very well with hearing aids and all. So I'm looking at some group or some people that maybe I can throw out an idea and maybe they can try and develop something.
If you get the idea to us, it's possible we could get it out to others and it's something might come back on it.
Frank, did you want to add something?
Yes, I would love it if you could be at our luncheon on July 5th in Las Vegas, because, of course, we're going to have a representative from Sendero Group, and that would be a perfect person for you to throw that question to, because, of course, in addition to the GPS technologies, there are other wayfinding technologies that are out there now.
And I was looking at the GPS technology, and it's quite practical.
Right, you wouldn't want GPS, but there are some other wayfinding technologies that people are talking about that are better in a smaller confined situations like that. And there might be something like that where Mr. LaPierre would be able to turn you on.
Yeah, I won't be able to make conference, so.
Right. But that's a very good point, and hopefully we'll see if we hear about something like that, we'll certainly try to get the word out and
Now, can you take my email address and get your ideas to us, Rich?
Would you like my address?
Send it to me. My email is RRROGERS. It's RR Rogers, 3 R's in a row, at Nuvox. It's N as in November, U, V as in Victor, OX.net.
So that's R.R. Rogers at Nuvox, NUVOX.net.
Right. And it never hurts to get the idea over to us. We can.
There's other applications for kind of thing, too.
Take care.
All right, Bye. Rich. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. You too. There's other applications. I think he may have had a hard time hearing us there. There's other applications for this sort of idea as well, I'm sure. So, Charles LaPierre may already know of something that's out there. So that's a good resource for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, 866-666-7926. We'll be with these fine gentlemen from BITS for about another 10 minutes. And then we will let them go, and we'll be in open forum in the second hour. Hello, you are with Rob, Frank, and Marlena. With whom are we speaking? Hello?
Hello there.
It's your turn, Roger.
Hello, Roger.
I thought sort of hold up the flag here as another BITS member. Now, I'm an example of a BITS member who isn't involved professionally with computers, although I used to be. And when I was involved, I was a member of a group that we ought to be specifically marketing to, and that is the group that the people who provide assistance to blind people using computers, either the tech support people for manufacturers, which is what I was, or the people who train. And I know that in the past we've had sessions specifically for trainers, and I think that's a That's something we should mention. Also, you didn't mention that we have the Kelly Cannon Scholarship.
Thanks for bringing that up, Roger.
And that's something that I think is real important. We give a scholarship to someone who's going to be studying computer-related stuff in college, and it's named after one of our members, a child of one of our members who died from retinoblastoma. And the other very brief comment I want to make when you're talking about the telephone voiceover and so forth is that I just heard today, I was listening to a story about the city of Philadelphia providing universal wireless access. They're going to do that. And the city of Mountain View, where I live in California, is planning to do the same thing. They're going to have wireless transceivers on all the lampposts, and wherever you are in Mountain View, you'll have wireless access. So,
wow.
Yes. We have to figure out what that's going to mean in terms of access. Will we be able to access our regular pop mail account through that stuff or what?
Yeah, so, DPL that you're talking about, Roger, isn't it? DPL?
I'm sorry?
That's DPL you're talking about, isn't it? That's
is that
the term they use. Philadelphia, I think they're spending like $10 million.
Yeah. Of course, the regular Verizon and those folks are suing them, trying to stop them from doing it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a ham radio operator, and I'm a.
We won't hold that against you.
Careful! I'm a ham radio operator too, and I've got the buttons, Roger.
DPL threatens a lot of radio communications because of spurious stuff coming off those lines, and that's what really worries us here in Cincinnati. The power companies want to be able to use DPL to put the internet over the power lines, and if it's spurious, it's going to wreck. It can even wreck television communications.
Well, that wouldn't be a big loss.
It would. That's the reason. I'd much rather see a cable going down the street dedicated to that rather than putting it over the power line.
Well, so. I think Roger has his tongue implanted firmly in his cheek, right, Roger?
Yeah, it makes it hard to talk.
I see that. Well, but again, Roger brings up a very good point in a critical area in which people who are interested in joining BITS could get involved, and that is monitoring all of this new stuff. I mean, we are moving so quickly. We're hurtling down this information superhighway, and are blind people going to get on the bus, or are we going to get run over by the bus?
And of course, you know, gradually the cell phone is becoming our computer.
Exactly.
And you're going to be able to use the internet with your microwave, I think, but I'm not just sure. It seems like more and more devices have processors in them, and they don't look like computers, so the technology is everywhere, and a lot of it's pretty inaccessible to us.
All right. Frank, did you have anything to add before we let this fine gentleman go?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Roger.
All right.
Yep.
Take care, Roger. Give Bernice my love. 866-666-7926. We will be together for about another 5 minutes. Anything else, Frank, about the program or the whole sort of overall experience coming up in Las Vegas?
Again, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a program that is going to have variety in it. And most importantly, it's a program that you don't have to be an electrical engineer or a computer science graduate to appreciate. This is for everybody, and we encourage everybody to come and participate.
Hello, caller. You're with Rob, Frank, and Marlena.
Hello there. Good evening, Rob, Frank, and Marlena. Well, that probably should be good morning where I am.
It's Dave Williams.
Dave Williams, of course, calling in from the UK. I actually had a couple of things that I wanted to call about, and things got pretty busy there the last little while. I thought I'd leave my call to the end, but you know what happens? Everybody does that, and of course it gets busier as time rolls on. I had a couple of things. Firstly, I wanted to let you guys know that we very much appreciate ACB Radio very much appreciates your making the showcase available, the technology showcase available to Main Menu, and we're keen to build relations between Main Menu and Bits in the future. And Jeff Bishop is really been the guy who's been doing quite a lot of work with Main Menu the last little while to try and sort of keep interest and that kind of thing. I guess this is something that you guys find that when you've been doing something for a while, it does take that little bit extra effort to keep it fresh and interesting. And after 5 years, we've got some new ideas, and Main Menu is certainly moving forward, and we would like to engage Bits in that. The other thing I wanted to ask, I guess, there's two things. Firstly, are Bits doing anything to explore or to advocate regarding the issue of the accessibility of home appliances? Because it seems to me, and somebody just mentioned this a few moments ago, that, you know, things are getting increasingly more technological, as it were, and I have a stack of set-top boxes in my living room. I have a VCR and a satellite receiver and a DVD player, and all these things have menus that I can't access, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that, and I'm just wondering what role can Bits take in trying to persuade the manufacturers of the importance of this market.
I'll let you go first, Frank. I've got a couple points here. But
yes. Now, Bits currently does not formally have, you know, we don't formally have, say, a legislative action committee or something like that. Over the years, we have had a number of Bits members that have been actively involved in ACB's Information Access Committee, which is sort of the focal point for advocacy from ACB in that area. And, of course, we've also had members that have participated in ACB's legislative seminars where we've gone to Capitol Hill to address a variety of blindness issues, among which have been some of these access issues. It's, again, an area that we would like to get much more involved with formally as an organization.
That's my take on it, too. That's part of the thrust. I think our constitutional amendment coming up mentions the fact that we would, part of our activity is advocacy, both with manufacturers, with developers, and with legislators to further our cause. Now, the Information Access Committee, this is their bailiwick, you might say, to have accessibility to appliances and that. But we, at the last convention, we had three of our members there at the Information Access Committee. And we have hopes for making some progress there, but at this point we haven't made enough. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
so many things I want to see access to it, and it just isn't there.
Yeah, and I was at that meeting as well, and being a new member of the Information Access Committee, and Bits really did play a significant part in helping to structure what that committee should do, because it's a problem. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree, and it seems to me that a lot of the solutions that come down the pipe in terms of access to these kinds of appliances tend to be either you go out and you buy a special VCR designed for the blind. That's one approach, and there are some inherent problems with that. The other approach seems to be retrofitting solutions. At Vision 2005 in the UK last week, I understand there was a device on display that you would put in line between your set-top box and your TV, and then it would do some kind of analysis of the on-screen display and then try to vocalize some kind of output that way. And again, you know, that's a very kind of sticking plaster type solution. And it seems to me that if these things are ever going to be truly accessible, accessibility needs to be in the designer's mind at the design phase, you know, right at the beginning, when people are drawing up the schematics for the, you know, the next generation of whatever it may be, Blu-ray player or, you know, whatever's coming down the road. And, you know, VCR, for example, there are companies in this country now, the high street retailers, that are no longer selling VCRs because writable DVDs is quite mature now. And it seems to me that there were hardly any fully accessible VCRs on the market.
Dave,
let me
just interrupt you briefly to say that we've just rolled over to the top of the hour. You've all heard promos. We're now back live, and we are still chatting with our guests, Rob Rogers and Frank Welty. Rob is the president of BITS, and Frank is the program chair. And we're on a call from Dave Williams in the UK, where we were when we sort of rolled into our automated promos, and we are discussing the need for advocacy to accessibility for all of our appliances, DVD players, VCRs, etc. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and the point I was making was that essentially, if these devices are ever going to be truly accessible without these kind of sticking plaster solutions or these solutions that segregate us from buying the mainstream product, is that accessibility needs to be in mind at the design phase and be a part of the original schematic. And I was wondering how the BITS folks felt about that.
Well, this is Frank, and I think your point is very well taken. I think that's the ultimate solution. Now, the good news there is when I look ahead, and I see the way we're seeing this whole convergence of appliances and communications, you know, that everybody talks about the wired home and all that sort of thing, is that I could see, and maybe sooner than we would all think, a scenario where if there's some kind of a industry standard communications protocol between appliances and your home internet, that it would become very easy to develop an accessible universal remote control. In fact, of course, Freedom Scientific is promising, and someday they may actually do it, a piece of software that a person can install on a PacMate and use their PacMate through its infrared port as a remote control. And so I could see a scenario coming sooner than we might expect, that if there's cooperation.
See, the thing is, Frank, is that the sort of solution we want, that somebody has to buy a $3,000, $4,000 piece of technology in order to use an infrared port, you know, to get information into a device? That's my point, that whatever device you might be controlling with your PacMate, and I'm sure that would be a good solution for people who have PacMate.
Okay, Frank? Frank?
Certainly not at 3 or 4K a pop, certainly. However, I think that There's no reason why this would have to be in a note taker. And it might be, for example, that if you could come up with a fairly inexpensive device, because it would be so central to independent living, there would be a lot of, I think that it's very likely that it would be the kind of standard product that would be issued by rehab agencies in the same way that, say, they issue tape recorders or things like that, that it would just be the kind of thing where it's understood if a person loses their sight, they get one of these controls. And it wouldn't have to be built into a $3,000 piece of equipment. It might be, say, a $200 or maybe a $50 box.
Yeah, Dave, I'm sort of with you. It angers me. First of all, if I want to go get an appliance and they say, oh, well, you ought to get one of these because they're made for the blind, I want to be able to get the equipment that has the features I want. I hear some fantastic piece of equipment, and I want to be able to use it. Oh, you can't use that because you just go over and buy this other thing that's got about one-tenth of the features, and because we don't make this thing for blind people.
I wonder whether we need to look at the mobile phone model, because mobile speaks and talks essentially are third-party applications which run on the Symbian Series 60 and Series 80 platform. And I wonder whether we need to encourage developers to adopt some sort of standard, some sort of platform operating system that that has some kind of architecture that, that you know, that the AT industry can develop for. And then you can have the accessibility right in the box without having to, you know, to go and get a talkie. I mean, my girlfriend, for example, has a remote control for her VCR that the remote control speaks to her. But if she's not got that lined up right, I mean, she's no way of knowing, you know, until the program didn't record whether or not it's happened, you know. So you really need accessibility in the appliance itself. And I appreciate what Frank's saying, talking about the wired home and tapping into to communications protocols and sort of piggybacking accessibility on that way. But I do wonder whether, you know, that's a kind of a sticking plaster type solution. I don't know. It's an interesting topic, though. And not to belabor this, my final point, and I'll get off and let somebody else have a go, was about something that was mentioned earlier. People were talking, you were talking about Linux and the computer, and it seems to me that in terms of the PC, the IBM compatible PC, that, you know, that's no longer the main battleground anymore. I mean, the access to it, to Windows is excellent now, and, you know, in terms of the access to information, it's as good as it's ever been, I feel, in terms of what I can get access to with my computer, get a newspaper on the day it's published, email, music, you know, documents, all sorts of stuff. And I just don't feel it that we've ever had it so good in terms of PC access. Marlena made a comment about Linux and relating that to employment. And it was interesting, actually. I read a report recently that indicated that actually the cost of supporting open source is more than it would be to support commercial software. So there's definitely money to be made if you know your Linux and you've got access to Linux and you're interested in developing those skills. There's certainly opportunities there, although obviously, you know, most people are using Windows and most of the jobs you're likely to get that involve a computer are going to involve Windows in some capacity. The question I had was, I understand that Apple have got something fairly imminent, and do either of you gentlemen have any information about that or any news about what's happening with the Mac and accessibility?
That is definitely true. I'm a little behind on my news at the moment myself, but I know that that's supposed to be coming very soon whenever they release the next version of the Macintosh operating system. So, yes, I believe they call it VoiceOver. And that is definitely coming, but I don't have the absolute latest news on where that stands
right
at one point.
I understand that they also have some blind people on the beta test team.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I understand.
Well, it's good if it's true.
Yeah. It's bad if it's not.
You're talking about
all right,
Linux.
Guys, I'm going to get off here and let somebody else have a go. I've been on quite a while. Interacting with you,
Dave,
again in the not too distant future.
Dave,
and,
hang on.
Certainly some interesting stuff tonight.
Dave, hang on. Robert, Rob wants to say something to you. Go ahead,
sure.
Rob.
I work for a large corporate organization. We used to be Novell in our networking. Now we use Linux. We use Windows networking. And Linux is in there. So it's an expanding market, and people are not real happy with Microsoft, and they're trying to find ways of getting around Microsoft. Mm. So Linux is a coming area, I believe.
Yeah, because they've kind of got a corners with Windows because it is so, you know, it is so intuitive and it is so accessible now. I mean, I really can't emphasize that point enough. And I know Jonathan used to say this on ACB Radio that, you know, in terms of computing, you know, in the early years, there were a lot of people that, you know, pined for DOS and really, really missed that environment. But things were getting fairly inaccessible towards the end there with DOS. And now that the Windows screen readers have really matured and, you know, it's amazing speed now that you can zap around a web page. If you know your navigation commands and you've got a modern screen reader, you can get on there and you can zoom down by heading, and obviously it relies on the page being marked up correctly. But
let me point this out, Dave.
Hey?
Let me point this one out. If we don't stay there advocating for our position with Microsoft, they are going to forget about us on Longhorn and any succeeding versions. We have to keep right at them. And there are still a lot of things I can't do in my job because of Windows.
and there's a lot to do. But I agree that there's so many things available to us now that we have. That's where BITS hopes to take its place, to advocate for blind people so that the developers won't forget about us on the next stage.
Yeah, that is important. I mean, my take on it is that I no longer feel that my desktop's the main battleground. Like, you know, this stack of boxes in my living room that won't talk to me, you know, and the appliances in my kitchen that have got little screens on them that I can't read. You know, it's these things and getting the ATMs rolled out everywhere, and it's not going to be long before, you know, when you go for a bus, there'll be some kind of electronic display on the bus stop, you know, and the technology is going absolutely everywhere. I read a report recently that reckoned that broadband internet access would be as fundamental to our existence as electricity is in the next, you know, few decades.
Hmm. All right, Dave, thank you so much. All the best to you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, you guys, I've kept you long after I promised you I'd let you go. We can continue or we can wrap up. And let me just say, first of all, I'm delighted that you both were able to join me this week. And, Rob, is there anything that you would kind of want to conclude with? And if folks are listening and you do want to call, feel free to do so. But we really should let these four guys leave. Is there anything, Rob, that you would like to conclude with here?
Well, we've got an outstanding program this year at the convention. Anyone coming to the convention, we invite them to our luncheon, the more the merrier, and to our seminars, especially the afternoon session on Wednesday. Well, I should just say every one of our sessions, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're happy to have you at our mixer on Monday night. So the more the merrier, and we'd love to see you, and we'd love to have you join, because we need your help to spread the word and your expertise to get things going.
And your email address is rrrogers@nuvox.net, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And Mr. Program Chair, Frank Welty, zip us through this program one more time every day. What do we got going?
Okay, the lightning review here.
The lightning
Saturday,
review.
Saturday, 4:30 p.m., BITS board meeting. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to noon, BITS program session. 1:30 to 4:30 p.m., BITS vendor, technology vendor showcase. Monday night, 9 to midnight, is the BITS mixer. Tuesday, 12:30 to 2, is the BITS luncheon. 2 to 5 is our business meeting. 5 to 6 is our post-convention board meeting. And Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 to 4:30 is our final program session. Last comment is, remember that for further information on BITS, you can get information by going to the ACB website and surfing over to the affiliates page and following the link to BITS there, or to go directly to BITS. That's an interesting way of putting it.
Go directly to BITS.
To surf over to the BITS webpage, go to www.acb.org/BITS, and I think you have to have a slash after the BITS, so it's like /BITS/. And I think that'll get you there. And
all right.
You can get all the information about us, and I think we also have some email links there as well.
And would you care to give your email address, Frank?
Mine is fwelty@sbcglobalnut.net. Let me spell that for you. F as in Frank, W, E, L, T as in Thomas, E, at, S as in Sam, B as in boy, C as in Charlie, global, that's GLOBAL.net.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me, both you BITS guys, and for staying actually an extra 15 minutes. It's been great.
It's been a blast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and we'll have you back next year.
Excellent.
Okay. I'm Marlena, and we've got another 45 minutes to go. Now, you see, normally what a professional would do, of course, I'm looking around this room, and I have yet to find a professional in this room, but what a professional would do is play some bridge music to bring you from one segment to the next, but my technology needs some bits advocacy, and the music ain't working, as they say. So we're just going to pretend that we've actually, the song I had prepared in my list was The Night My Server Died by Robo Music. It's a great song. It has all these error sounds and sounds of computers crashing and so forth. But I will allow you to use your imagination and hear that song playing as we transition. And we do have another call. Let's bring this caller into the room. Hello, caller. With whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Scott from San Antonio.
Hey, Scott.
Texas. I want to stay a little longer in the technology vein, if you don't mind.
I would love it.
I understand you. I heard you mention in one of the CSUN presentations that you had a Nokia 6620.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, I do.
What sort of interfaces does it have? Is it Bluetooth, infrared, both?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, both.
It
has Bluetooth and infrared.
Uh-huh.
And I happen to use MobileSpeak
uh-huh.
as my access software, but it certainly works well with Talks as well. Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
Now, another thing, have you ever sent information back and forth between the cell phone and the Braille note?
Yes, not the, let's see, have I done it? I've done it with the PK through the Bluetooth,
right.
And I did do it with the Braille note and the infrared, It was way less stable. I had a lot of problems with the...
Well, yeah, because infrared, you have to be line of sight.
Yeah. So, but with the Bluetooth, with the PK and Bluetooth, it's phenomenal. It's beautiful, yeah.
It's like a cord, kind of like a cordless phone setup, I guess.
Well,
it doesn't have to be line of sight. One could be in one pocket and one could be in the other
pocket. And I'll keep the phone in my pocket and run it through with the PK. And by run it, I mean in terms of using my email or surfing the web, using the PK interfaces to do that, and the Bluetooth connection to the phone gets me onto the internet. So, and another cool thing about it, Scott, is, although it does lead to some strange looks, I'm told. I have one of these little teeny tiny Bluetooth headsets. And so my phone can ring, and my phone's in my pocket.
Yeah.
I touch my ear, and I just walk around talking to myself, according to what other people think.
It looks like you're talking to yourself.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Did they say you have a headset on?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tiny, it's so tiny. I have a Motorola headset, it doesn't interfere at all with my ability to hear where I'm going as a blind person.
Oh, okay, if you're walking.
Yeah.
Another thing, do you know if the 6620 can send faxes?
I believe there is a utility that will allow it to do that. I have not tried that, but I do believe it can. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I may be in the market for a new cell phone sometime. If I have to get a new cell phone, more than likely it'd be one of those. Either I'd be looking at the 6620 or the 7610.
And I did see the 7610. Now, I've never used the 7610, but I did hold it in my hands and look at it, I think, when I was at ATIA.
Mm-hmm.
I would think either one of those would be a good choice. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can synchronize the 6620 with your PC.
Yes.
With the Bluetooth connection, I guess.
You can do it either way. You can do it Bluetooth or USB.
It has USB also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
The
all three.
Yeah, what it is, the connection to the phone is proprietary, but on the other end of the cord, it's the USB. Yeah. And what I do, in fact, is I will synchronize my phone because of the business that I'm in, which is some adaptive technology training, although these days not as much as I do more universal design applications. But because of the business that I'm in, I do try to stay pretty current with devices. And so I'm lucky enough to have a PK and a Braille note. And what I do is I will, let's say, if I'm out on the road and I am on the phone and I make an appointment, I may just key it into my phone's calendar right now using the telephone keyboard, but there are Braille keyboards coming out both from Visuaid and Optilec, which are pretty interesting Bluetooth Braille solutions. But so I'll key that appointment in, and then I'll come home and I'll sync my phone to my PC and then sync my Braille devices to my PC. So I know where I'm at from four different sources. So it's technology's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Cooler every day.
Do you work with much adaptive technology yourself?
I use it at home and at work.
Uh-huh.
I use JAWS at home and at work.
What kind of business are you in?
Well, I work for Marriott. I'm at one of their reservation centers here in San Antonio.
My favorite hotel.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
If you ever need to book a room, look us up.
I do. In fact, when I travel, Marriott's, I probably shouldn't give them a shameless plug here, but I find my husband, Gary, the board guy, as we love to call him, is a wheelchair user, and Marriott has wonderful accessibility in most of its hotels, so you work for a good chain.
All right. I just wanted to touch base on that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, you know, it's part of my shopping around.
Yeah.
I want to get as much information as I can before I make my purchases. And
put my money
where it's really going to go, where it's really going to get the most use. You know?
Well, I hope this was of some help, and I hope you'll call me again.
All right, I'm sure I will.
All right, Scott, you have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We're an open forum here. It's about 23 minutes past the hour. If you're listening to this at any time other than 2 Universal on a Monday morning, good grief, what are you doing up at that hour? Or Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, you're listening to a replay and just enjoy. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking?
Hello, Marlena. This is Matthew Dyer. Calling in.
Hello, Matthew. Whoops. Can you turn your speakers down there a little bit?
Yes.
There we go. What's going on with you this week, sir?
Well, not too much. I had a couple of things I wanted to ask about that hopefully maybe somebody can help me out with. One of which is regarding my Braille note and a Dell Inspiron 1100 laptop that I have. I'm currently running KeySoft version 4.01. And I was kind of wondering, if it's possible to find out if the laptop I have, if there's a way to find out if it has infrared or not, because at this point, I don't have any cables to keep any of my data backed up. So if something goes wrong with my Braille note, I'm going to end up losing it or something of that nature, and I don't have any other way to back it up.
And what,
except maybe using infrared.
And what kind of laptop do you have?
It's a Dell Inspiron 1100.
So if anyone knows about a Dell Inspiron 1100, does it
have... Yeah, if anyone has ever... heard about it or has any information about how to detect if the computer has infrared of any kind, I would certainly love to know.
Yeah, and I'm sure that that you can.
Because I don't know if any more these days the computers do, and if they do, I have yet to see any way to tell, rather by feeling or by looking in the connection settings or any of that stuff to tell.
Yeah.
If infrared is available, but.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, you are a bit behind on your Keysoft versions, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, and the reason being is that for two reasons. One, I don't really have the money at the moment
right.
to update my new motherboard to get the new Keysoft, which
yeah, sure.
I'm going to do eventually, but it's going to come into my next question here in a minute. But
okay. I think that whether your computer has infrared or not, and there is a way to find that out, if I could remember it properly, I'm sure somebody will call in and correct me, but I believe that you can go into your system and your computer and go down and look and see if there are infrared ports, just manually going down the tree view there. But that's always something I need to do as I say it. So if anyone can give Matthew a better direction, please feel free to call in and do so. But the other part of the situation is, Matthew, that I believe that to establish your, and what you want to do is synchronize your data, and I believe that you
keep my files up to date,
right?
Journal prompt,
right?
Journal thing and stuff up there, and I hate to lose all that stuff when I'm working on it, and I just haven't,
right?
Because I don't have any way to back anything up. I've been using it very lately. I'm hoping I can get everything updated eventually so that I can keep my appointments and all that stuff up to date and everything on both.
Right, and what I'm saying though is that you will need to establish your first synchronized connection using the serial cord, to the best of my knowledge, that the serial cable that came with your Braille note. So if you don't have that, you'll need to get yourself another standard 9-pin serial cable. But maybe there are some Braille note people out there listening who can tell me that no, there's another way to do it, and get you some help.
Okay. And my second question I was going to bring up was I'm possibly going to go to Wright State University here in Ohio, but I wanted to find out if there was a website, and I haven't had a chance to go to Google. I've been so kind of busy looking with other stuff, I haven't had a chance to look it up myself. But I was kind of wondering if there was a website, and I know that you can, through FAFSA, get some federal grants, but I was wondering if there were any other grants for the visually impaired that are out there that I could possibly look into to see what might be available.
I know that most states have a Tech Act funds, and for example, here in Washington State, one of the resources that is available to folks are low-interest loans, and these are very low-interest loans that are negotiated out on a very long-term basis at a very low interest rate for people to be able to purchase equipment. What I would do if I were you is I would do a Google on your state and the Tech Act and see if you can find anything along those lines. It's truly becoming more and more difficult to get free money these days. And
yes,
so
sure.
These low interest loans, you know, a lot of people sort of blanch and they say, oh, well, you know, rehab should buy this, or somebody, well, you know, maybe 5, 10, 20 years ago that was the case. But nowadays, that's not necessarily the way it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I got to call my VSBI here in Ohio tomorrow too and talk to them, because technically my counselor's kind of, you know, I guess she's kind of not really sold on me going to college, because she feels it's not really something I should do. But as I've been hearing, you know, and as I'm sure it's true, you know, it's not her decision to really make that.
That's
at least
right.
Not anymore, it isn't.
That's right.
She's there to help me, but she's not there to make the decision or rather what I should do. I mean, she's there to give me some ideas, but...
That's right. And
but I do appreciate everyone's help, and anybody that's listening, you know, I do appreciate you everyone helping, and I just kind of threw those things out because I wanted to make sure that, you know, I just wanted to get some help on those two
All
things
right.
and see what kind of help I might be able to get. I did send an email to the help needed list, I think, or one of my lists I'm on, but I never did get any responses, so I'm assuming there that nobody really knew anything. But
well, do you want to give out your email address before I let you go in case anyone's...
Yeah, I do. If somebody happens to be listening and maybe it doesn't have a chance to call in or their phone isn't working or something, I don't know.
All right, what's your email?
My email address is, it's all lowercase, MDYER, the number one, at neo.rr.com.
All right. Thanks,
and that,
Matthew.
By the way, it stands for Northeast Ohio, so if anybody is kind of wondering, that's what it is. So.
Okay. Thanks,
so,
Matthew.
No problem.
Have a good week.
You too, Marlena, and continue your, and I appreciate all the work you guys do for ACB Radio. I
Thank
really
you.
It.
Thank you, and we appreciate that you're there to listen. Have a good one.
You too.
866-666-7926. It's about 33 minutes past the hour, and we'll be with you till the top of the hour. And once again, if you're listening to this at any time other than between the hours of 2 and 3 Universal, like I said before, what the heck are you doing up? Or 10 Eastern or 7 Pacific, it's a repeat. Hello, we have a caller. You're with Marlena. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Marlena. It's Kelly Superja.
Hello, Kelly.
Canada.
Another one of my ACB Radio Interactive colleagues. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just getting a little annoyed with the weather out here.
Oh, dear. Why? What's going on?
Well, since last night, it's been basically raining. There's been some thunderstorms, and we had a bit of snow.
Snow?
Wet snow this morning, and it's annoying.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear. Well,
yes.
Spring is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Someday.
Well, I thought we had spring, or we were having spring there, but now it seems like it's almost like winter again.
Oh, dear. Well, drink some hot chocolate and keep warm.
Yeah, that or maybe a nice cup of tea.
There you go. There you go. I like orange spice tea myself.
Me, I like the... I like tangerine orange zinger. That's the flavor I like.
Ooh, if I come to your house, we'll have a cup of that together.
Oh, that sounds great.
So what's on your mind tonight, sir?
Okay, well, I've got a question and maybe even a comment, I guess. I am just wondering if anyone knows if there's a good DVD player, you know, like a certain model that... I should buy. I am debating getting one so that I can watch movies that come from the CNIB, where I guess I'm probably going to be getting a DVD service later on this year. Although they've got a title. They say it's on order, but they've listed it on their What's New page. And so I'm just trying to figure out what player I should buy, like what features I should get. I read in an email that was sent to the ACB Radio Friends list, I think it was a couple of months ago, shortly after the announcement about the Ray DVD coming out with the audio description, there are things like there's a language button on the remote control, and that's one thing that would be very helpful. So I'm wondering if there's any other features or anything like that I should look for when buying a player.
Oh, that, you know, that's a good question. It's kind of, you know, we got into that whole discussion on the ACB Radio Friends list about, you know, what comes first, the accessible movies or the accessible player. And Panasonic is claiming to be developing in conjunction with input from the NFB, some sort of a DVD, player, but I've been very unsuccessful in contacting Mr. Robert Wegner of Panasonic and getting him to come on the program and talk to us about it. So maybe we will try to pursue that as well and see where that might be going.
I sure hope so. It would be great to get some input from some of these companies and to find, you know, get their position on that. Personally, I guess this sort of leads to my comment. I personally think now, I don't know much about DVD players, it has to be said, but I would like to see these, you know, the descriptive video companies come out with more movies on DVD. And I'm not just meaning the DVD with maybe the descriptive video track somewhere on there that you would have to get some sighted help with. But I mean, maybe like a talking menu system, sort of like what was on the How the Grinch Stole Christmas DVD.
Yeah.
I received a sample of a magazine a while ago on tape, and they had a demonstration of the Ray DVD, the special one with the descriptive audio track.
Uh-huh.
And it said on there that they basically described how you navigate it to that particular track. But what kind of bothered me, I guess, was that there's no talking menu system on that one. And as far as I'm aware, I don't know. I don't have it. But.
Yeah, I do have it, and you are correct. At least I could not find a talking menu system.
And that's really too bad because I'm just, I'm meaning, why release a special version with a descriptive track and not bother to make the thing fully accessible? In that case, why not just put the descriptive video track on the main DVD itself, you know, like that everyone else would buy in, let's say, the stores or Amazon.com or something like that? That, to me, just does not make any sense.
Yeah, and I think I totally agree with you, and I think that though in the case of Ray, without ACB's intervention and advocacy, we wouldn't even have the special edition. So I think that was very much done kind of later on into the release. However, your points are very valid, and ones that people did raise during this discussion at the ACB President's and Legislative Seminar meeting. And there is quite an interest within ACB right now to really raise the bar on this stuff and really get some attention focused on our accessibility needs. So do you read the Braille Forum?
Sometimes I've heard it on ACB radio. I think this was a few years ago, but I haven't been keeping up with the magazine. I must be honest.
Well, you know, check out the ACB website. You know, you don't have to subscribe to the forum. It's there for anyone to read. You can read it right directly online and keep watching that, because I wouldn't be at all surprised to see some discussion in this direction coming out pretty soon, actually.
I sure hope so. To me, that just seemed absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, enjoy your snow.
Thank you.
And would you like to give a shameless plug for your program on ACB Radio Interactive?
Oh, sure.
Why not?
I would love to. Okay, my program is called Northern Lights. It's on Thursdays from 23 to 0100 hours UTC on Fridays. That, I guess, would be probably 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Is it 3 p.m. Pacific or 4 p.m. Pacific?
Four.
Okay, yeah. That's the problem. We don't change time here, so. But anyway, on the Northern Lights every week, I play a mix of new age, ambient, easy listening, smooth jazz, and global fusion music from independent and mainstream artists. And we try to feature whenever we can, anyway, some new music whenever it comes in. And I think it's been a pretty good show. I've been doing it since 2001, and it's still going strong.
Yep, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Mr. Kelly, will you take care and have a sip of that orange tangerine zinger tea for me?
I sure will.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. I sure do appreciate all of you calling up and keeping me company here. We've got about another 20 minutes to go, maybe 19 or thereabouts to go, and you could get really tired of listening to me talk for 19 minutes, but I'd never get tired of listening to you talk for the next 19 minutes. So I hope you will give me a call, and someone's doing that right now. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jay Dowd in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jay! How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
It's great to hear your voice, my man.
Well, I just wanted to call it... I got a chance, I got in the very tail end of the last 45 minutes or so of the Ronnie Millsap interview last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was excellent. I wondered, I missed the first part, and I wondered if you had talked about his book at all.
No, we didn't talk about his book.
Because I was trying to get through, of course I didn't have the number, but I was trying to get through I have a signed copy of it that he signed 10 or 15 years ago. And it's out of print, but it is available on Talking Book.
Oh, man, no.
You see, people were asking questions about his time at the school, and it's all in there.
Yeah, yeah.
The book's called Almost Like a Song.
Almost Like a Song.
Which is the title of one of his
songs. Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately don't have the LC number. But I'll bet if anybody calls their regional library tomorrow and asks for Ronnie Millsap's book, I'll bet it's still there. It's really worth reading. It really is.
Well, I tell you, when Ronnie and I got off the air, we chatted briefly, and he told me that he'd love to come back on again maybe in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got all his contact information and stuff, and I will bring him back on in the fall, and we'll talk about that book.
Yeah, I think it would be worth reading, and if anybody wants to read it, you can probably get it. I'll tell you what I did. I even made a copy of the book. And, of course, now I can't find it at the moment. I made a cassette. You know, you can take some people may not realize this, but you can take a good double-well cassette deck or something and copy a talking book.
Sure.
And
sure.
This is low-tech stuff. I don't know how many people are still using. I told somebody the other day I'd give them an interview that I did a long time ago on cassette. And they said, oh, cassette. Who uses those things?
Well, you could give me an interview of yours on cassette any day, and I would digitize it.
No, but I think everybody's beginning to expect things on...
Yeah.
On CD, but anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I thought if people didn't know about it, and I didn't know whether, since I missed the first part, I wasn't sure whether it came up, but he was fabulous, and of course, as you said, his music is so eclectic, and he started out with great blues and then his great country songs, the early days of country. He didn't talk about, the other thing I wanted to ask him about was his country album, that he did called the 2020 Vision.
No, he didn't.
It was all country music. And it was a typical real country music album. It has songs like Looking Out the Window Through the Pain. And things like that around.
Oh,
there.
That's great. Well, you know, one of the things we did talk about, which I love, of all the Ronnie Millsap stories that I know of, and certainly there are millions more than those with which I'm familiar, but of the few I know about, I love the story where, back in the early days, he was doing all this R&B music and it was being played on the, you know, so-called black stations and stuff. And then it stopped. It just stopped. And so he got all concerned about it and his publicist told him this story years later. But apparently a publicist sent a picture of Ronnie around, and they said, oh, wait, he's not a brother, he's not black, we can't play his music. No, he's not a brother. And the publicist said, yeah, but he's blind. He doesn't know he's not black, and they started playing the music again.
That is funny. That is funny. There's been a couple of groups. In fact, there was a Pennsylvania group. We're getting gone into music a little bit, but it was a Pennsylvania group that had a fairly big, a moderate national hit, The Magnificent Men, back in the 60s. And they were positively, absolutely white. But they got a lot of airplay on soul and rhythm and blues stations. And they went to the Tower Theater in Philadelphia to perform. And they went out on stage, and the people were floored because they were not black. They couldn't believe it. So it's happened more than once. And, of course, Ronnie has that extra twist.
Yeah.
I guess I'll see you this summer, eh?
Oh, yes, sir. I certainly will. We'll be there with bells on.
All right. Well, it's going to be lots of fun there. We're looking forward to seeing our friends being together again.
And you are so critical to the success of the ACB radio streaming efforts, and we just love you and we appreciate you and Mike and everybody that really works so hard on all the ACB sounds.
Well, Dave and the crew there are really a good group to work with. I guess Dave is really a good guy to work with, and ACB and ACB Radio are very fortunate to have Dave Williams as a fine leader in this whole operation. And of course, Marlena, you really have. I mean, I was there in those first sessions several years ago when ACB was offering the training, and you took to it very quickly, and you've really done very well, and we're very proud of you, you know.
Well, thank you.
For what you've done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You and your husband have been great support to ACB Radio.
Well, Jay, now my head's just getting too big for this.
That's enough. We won't say anymore.
That's enough.
We won't say anymore. Well, listen, everybody, go find that book. If you enjoyed the Ronnie Millsap interview, you'll enjoy the book every bit as much.
And you know what? The Ronnie Millsap interview, by the way, is archived in full directly off the acbradio.org website front page. So
I'll have to go get the parts
right.
I missed.
That's right. Go get the parts you missed, but don't do it till after my show.
Yeah, right.
All right. Take care, Jay.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, that's my good friend Jay. What a wonderful guy he is. And he really keeps all that sound stuff happening. You know, we get a lot of email during the ACB radio convention, the ACB convention, about how grateful people are that ACB radio is there. And Dave Williams really breaks his back to make it all happen. But it wouldn't work without Jay Dowden and Mike Duke and just those guys who really make it all sound the way it's supposed to sound. So there you have it. 866-666-7926. We've got about another 10, 11 minutes, and let's see who's coming in. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, this is Bob in Oklahoma.
Hello, Bob from Oklahoma.
Right, first-time caller.
Well,
but you mentioned something a while ago that I'm very interested in.
Uh-huh.
I've got a 6620 myself, and by the way, I'm using Bluetooth on it right now.
Oh, cool. Good for you.
Oh, it is. It is really something else. But you mentioned the Braille keyboard. Do you have any kind of time period on when that's supposed to be released, or when and what it's going to cost?
You know, the answers are no, no, and maybe. I don't know that there are two of them coming out. And I can tell you that the companies that are doing them, Optelec, O-P-T-E-L-E-C, Optelec, is doing one, and VisuAid, V-I-S-U-A-I-D-E, is doing the other. I've seen them both. They're both Bluetooth. They're both pocket-size Braille keyboards. I don't know exactly when they're coming out. I believe Optelec, if it isn't out yet, it will be very soon, like within weeks.
Okay.
And The last price points that I knew, and this is by no means anything official, okay, this is just...
It's not down in stone, huh?
No, because I don't know any more than what I knew a few weeks ago. But the last price points that I had heard was that the Optilec one would be around $900 without the phone software and $1,150 or something like that with the phone software. And the VisuAid one is about $450, and no one mentioned anything to me about phone software. So what I would suggest that you do is go to visuaid.com and optilec.com and check it out and see if you can find some more information about it.
That sounds like a good idea. Those companies, I had not seen anything on yet, but as everything else, it ain't cheap, is it?
No, it ain't cheap. And but, you know, it's I can tell you from looking at both keyboards that they're pretty doggone sturdy little keyboards. So it's a lot of dollars, but it isn't something that is going to, you know, break within 30 days of your using it. I mean, they're both very sturdy, very easy to braille on, nice ergonomically. So, you know, check it out.
Well, we'll have to. I wonder if they're going to be, I won't be able to make the convention, but they might be something by one of the local adaptive equipment suppliers that might accidentally have one to look at here in Oklahoma. But anyway, I do thank you. I hadn't even heard of one coming out on the market. Everybody on the Talks email list is talking about stowaway keyboards.
The Bluetooth stowaway QWERTY. Yeah.
I haven't even seen one of those yet.
We had one for a while here to try, and it kept crashing the phone, so I don't know, but maybe they've improved it, but...
I doubt it.
Yeah, it was kind of...
I don't find a real big chore on entering anything all through the telephone itself.
Sure.
But it gets a little bit inconvenient, you know, the small keys and everything, but I'm... familiar with, I'm an amateur operator as well, and I've got a repeater of my own. I've got an ACC controller on it. Which, you edit text very similar to the phone, so it's not that big a deal, but it would always be nice to have a keyboard if you could afford it.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, I do thank you for your information, and we'll catch you another time.
All right, Bob. Thanks for calling, and I hope you do it again.
All right. Thank
okay.
You.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We've got about 6 more minutes to go in this, our second hour of the Marlena program. And if you're listening at any time other than Monday morning or Sunday night, I won't even go through all the times. You're listening to a repeat, and we just wanted to enjoy the experience. I was up on the ACB radio.org website before I started the program. Knew we were going to be talking some about technology. I mean, when can you get a bunch of blind folks together and you don't talk about technology, whether it's, hey, let me see what kind of cell phone you've got, or, you know, hey, what kind of digital recorder is that, and what's an accessible this and an accessible that. But anyway, I was up on the website and I read the most fascinating story up there. And let's see if I can pop over here into my little file here that I took some notes on that story. Couldn't quite get it all copied over the way I wanted to do, but a robotic shopping cart. Okay, is being developed by Utah State University. Okay, now what this thing is going to do, what the prototype does do, it It operates with this RFID stuff, you know, the RF and then the ID tags transmitted through RF. And in this thing, there is a laptop embedded with some sort of a Braille display attached. And so in this grocery store in which this is being tried, the aisles and products are all labeled with RFID tags. And so the laptop receives these ID tags and shows you on your Braille display what you're walking past. So it might say, you know, cereal, dog food. You know, how come they always put the dog food with the cereal and the laundry detergent? I'm not sure why that is. But anyway, it might show you the, you know, cereal on one side of the aisle, dog food and laundry detergent on the other side of the aisle. And so you say, oh, okay, yep, I want to get me some Cheerios. So you go down the cereal aisle, and as I understand it, you tell this thing, well, I'm looking for Cheerios, and it tells you, you know, 20 more feet on the right are Cheerios. Okay, now I'm probably doing this thing really no justice at all by describing it this way, but that's kind of my take from the article. The kicker is that right now the doggone thing costs $20,000. So, I just kind of wonder, is the price has got to come down significantly, I would think, for any of us to be able to use it. But, you know, a question for a future show, perhaps, is what do you think about technology like this? What do you think about, you know, are we running down some silly, you should forgive the pun, blind alley with this kind of technology? Or, hey, is there something to it? Is there, you know, can we think outside the box? And will thinking outside the box make your life and my life just that much simpler? I don't know. I mean, whoever would have thought, you know, 25 years ago that we would have these little tiny wee note takers, and whether it's a Braille note, a pack made, a PK or whatever, and you're running GPS on it, man. Whoever would have thought that, you know, 25 years ago, that might have been a crazy idea. Hi there, you're going to be my last caller. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's me.
Hey, it's you.
Dave Williams calling from the UK again. Just very quickly, wanted to thank Jay Downer for his very kind words earlier on. Thanks very much. And kind of an FYI, for Jay and anybody else who missed it, the Ronnie Millsap Show is still there on our front page on the ACB
Radio.
Yes,
I told him that. I told him that.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. People forget these things.
Yeah. You know, only because you're the boss, I let you call back twice.
Okay. we need to keep an eye on the time, and I also need your log.
All right, sir, you'll get my log.
Lovely jubbly.
All right.
All the best to everybody, and we'll see you very soon.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Next week on Marlena, we are going to bring to the microphone Cynthia Towers, the ACB convention coordinator, and she's going to talk to us about what the heck this Riviera Hotel is all about, what's there, what's around, why should you go to Las Vegas, save up your pennies. I'll certainly be there, and I really hope to meet a bunch of you in Las Vegas at the ACB convention. So I think that's going to wrap.